7-1-4-1-1. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Praise the name of God. Hallelujah. Get your Bibles and remain standing. Oh, we bless your name, God. You are so worthy. You are so worthy. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. 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 Your name. Your name. Your name. Power in your name. Healing in your name. Deliverance in your name. Love. Peace in your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Make ready our hearts for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let the people of God say amen. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Recorded are these words. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost who come to God by him. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I won't speak from the subject. Let Jesus fix it for you. Part two. Let Jesus fix it for you. This verse is broken into two views. The first view has to do with inspiration, and the second view has to do with intercession. As we go back to the first view, the inspiration, what a powerful inspiration it is when you really begin to grasp the fullness of the fact that the word declares, wherefore he is able. And I told the 7 a.m. service that I could hardly get past that part of the verse in my prayer and meditation and preparation, because the Holy Spirit took me on a journey of the Lord's ableness. And if you've got a relationship with God, it's not hard to see that he still is able. I'm so glad it doesn't read, wherefore he was able. Because that would suggest that it no longer is a reality. I'm so glad it doesn't say, wherefore he will be able. Because that still suggests he is not yet able. But I'm glad past, present, or future, the reality is that he still is and always will be able. Well, I looked back and looked at the word wherefore. It means on account of. And I say, well, how does that fit on the account of he is able? But then I had to back up to verse 24, which says, but this man, talking about Jesus, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. On which account? He is able. I said, oh, fix it, Jesus. Fix it, Jesus. It's because of his unchangeable priesthood that he is able to do anything but fail. And my brothers and sisters, how important it is for the believer to get the revelation of the fact that Jesus can handle any situation you may have, to know, to understand that what he has come to do, he has come to do for the entire man. He's not just concerned about your soul. He's concerned about your whole. What I love about him is that what he came to do what none other, inclusive of ourselves, was able to do. And my brothers and sisters, we'd be all right if we could at least fix it in one realm. But Jesus is able to fix it in every realm. And too many believers are living defeated lives, living under, beneath the privilege of understanding, because I belong to the Most High God, because I am family, because Jesus is my elder brother whom I share joint heirship with. There are things I can speak that be not as though they were. I am able to use the authority through which he left for me on planet Earth to do everything he did and more. If I truly understood wherefore he is able. But one of the things that I like about the verse is it says also. So it just puts no limitations on him. It says he's able also to save them, listen, to the uttermost. Now, when you begin to look at this word, it's an interesting word because there are three schools of thought that come in the defining of this word. It literally means completion, perfection, and utterly. Completely, perfectly, and utterly. Those are the words that come under uttermost. I begin to look at that word and thinking about Jesus being able to do all things and also save them who come to God by him. Now, if he's going to save them to the uttermost, then you need to understand the word, because one of the things that I love about etymology is when you're able to go see the root meaning of words and the true meaning of words and the words in the context. Many words, though they may be spelled the same, have different meaning in different time periods. And to understand it in the context of its grouping, it helps you to understand what it really means. So when it says completely, perfectly, and utterly, uttermost, that word uttermost, it began to reveal new life. But what does this mean? Jesus is able first to save completely. Completely. He doesn't partially save you. He doesn't save a piece of you and leave another piece of you unsaved. He saves all of you. He saves the good of you, and he saves the bad of you. He saves the best of you, and he saves the worst of you. He saves your heart, he saves your mind, and he saves your mouth, even though they all may not be converted. What you got to understand is that though you may not be walking in full conversion, you are completely saved. Your heart may be waiting on all of the rest of the stuff that needs to get together. Your mouth might be waiting on getting the rest of the stuff together. Your mind might be waiting on getting the rest of your stuff together, but you are completely saved when you're saved. You might not act like it all the time. Have I got a witness in the house? Some folk might look at you and say, you ain't saved. But isn't it good to know that you can know, because Jesus is able, that you are completely saved? Well, one good way to think about it is, how many of you have ever taken a test and you finished it completely? Taking a test. Maybe been 1 to 100 and you finished all of it completely. But now we move to the next part, perfectly. Now, you finished completely. You answered every question completely. But it wasn't perfect. You got less than 100 because every question wasn't perfectly answered. See, to understand this, it says Jesus saves us completely. But then he also saves us perfectly, which literally means this does not have all to do with just talking about moral sins or the sins of the flesh, but this has to do with maturing you. This has to do with a completion that makes you whole, so that when you are complete and mature, you don't, but the old folk put it this way, the things I used to do, I don't do no more. And that's when you have become perfect. And see, what you got to understand is his ability to save you perfectly means that in the end, when God reads your record clearly, even though you have sinned, even though you've missed it, even though you've fallen short, even though you've missed the mark, when he sees you, he will see you perfectly, because you will be covered by his blood. And remember, because you are covered by the blood, then the Father don't go looking for the rest of the stuff that's underneath it. And so you are perfectly presented before, not that you were perfect, but you are perfectly saved. In other words, when the blood of Jesus saves you, that's enough for the Father. And because that's enough for the Father, we get in because he's able. Lord, I wish I. And then I looked at that word utterly. You saved me completely. You saved me perfectly. Now you save me utterly. Listen to this. To make it simple and plain, it means save you without limits. Without limits. Do you know, when I understand that the devil don't have the power he used to have, when I understand he saved me utterly, I would say from the hairs of my head, I'll just say from the top of my head to the soles of my feet and everywhere in between and around, he saved me utterly. Utterly. You might say, well, that sounds good, preacher, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know, I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity. Yeah, well, all of us were. Yeah, but my mom and daddy were married. That don't make no difference. You might be called an illegitimate child. You might be called other things. But if you know Jesus, you're called saved. Listen, I don't care what abuse you may have suffered. I don't know and don't even care what abuses you may have partaken in. The truth of the matter is, when you come to God by him, he is able to utterly, well, another songwriter put it this way, that problem that I had, I just couldn't seem to solve. I prayed and I prayed and I kept getting deeper involved. Then I gave it to Jesus and I stopped worrying about it. I gave it to the Lord and he worked it out. But then they said, this habit that I had, I just couldn't seem to break. I prayed and I prayed, Lord, don't let it be too late. Turn it over to Jesus. Turned it over to Jesus. Turned it over to Jesus. And I stopped worrying about it. I gave it over to the Lord. And you know what he did? Yeah, he worked it. All I'm trying to tell somebody is, let Jesus. I know you may have been invited here today. Somebody know you and maybe know you better than you think they know you. But I got news for you. Jesus knows you better than anybody knows you. And he loves you in spite of you, in spite of your mistakes, in spite of your issues, in spite of your troubles, in spite of your trials, in spite of your decisions, in spite of your delirium. He loves you. And I'm just trying to tell somebody, let Jesus. Oh, you about to lose your mind, but just before you do it, let Jesus. Some of you may have been contemplating taking your life, but before you do it, let Jesus. Some of you getting ready to get a divorce, but just before you do, let Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Some of you've done everything you can and seem like your situation just won't get no better, but may I recommend Jesus to you? He can, he will work it out if you let him have it today. To the uttermost. Three examples and I'm going to let you go. That was an example, John 2, 1 through 11. Uttermost. Utterly. Somebody got some situation this morning. Touch your neighbor and say he's about to talk about a situation. Touch your other neighbor and say he's about to talk about a situation. Just in case somebody's situation and put them to sleep. Somebody all wrapped up in their situation and not paying attention. Situation. I can't speak to your situation, but he can. Young couple was getting ready to get married. Planned a big wedding reception. And somehow, whether it lasted one day, one week, one month, and depending on the socioeconomical standard, one would celebrate either one day, one week, or one month. But whatever it was, they were celebrating, the wine ran out. But thanks be to God, Jesus was invited to the wedding. And I got news for you, my brothers and sisters, just throwing this out parenthetically. I don't care what goes wrong in your life, when Jesus is invited in, it's good to know you got backup. Jesus' mother, Mary, was there, and she was no doubt helping in the serving at the wedding feast. And they ran out of wine, and she said, "Oh, Jesus, I'm so glad you showed up." And Jesus said, "What have I to do with thee, woman? My hour had not yet come." But she didn't get mad with Jesus. She didn't talk back to Jesus. In verse 5 of the second chapter of John, she turned to the servants and said, "Whatever he say, do. Do it." And he told them to take the 6 water pots and fill them up with water to the brim. And you know the story. He turned the water into wine, and the party went on as prescribed. Celebration continues. And so the governor of the feast came to the bridegroom, said, "Man, I don't understand this." He said, "I've served at many parties as the governor." He said, "And mostly, even from the rich on down to the poor, they start off with the best, with all that is good. And when men have well drunken, then they pull out the booms bomb. They pull out the cheap stuff." He said, "But you, I don't understand this. You have saved your best until now." And my brothers and sisters, all I'm trying to tell somebody is, when you invite Jesus into your life and things go awry and people who are there watching you, and I got news for you, had they run out of wine and stayed out of wine, this young couple would have been ruined. They would have talked about, you know, everybody that come to your wedding ain't your friend. You know folks show up to look and to talk. But he gave them something to talk about. That's what I love about Jesus. Because when that happened, it changed the course of marriage celebrations. And only because Jesus showed up in their situation. Remember, invite him in your situation and watch him change the outcome. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through verse 34, woman with an issue of blood, 12 long years, had gone from doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor, got none the better, but she heard about Jesus. Her problem was sickness, a continual blood flow, a hemorrhaging that would not stop. Tried every remedy known to man, but nothing worked. And she heard about Jesus and said, in herself that if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And the Bible says when she touched his garment, from that very hour, she was made whole. And she was scared to talk to Jesus because she knew what had been done. But Jesus knew what had been done, because virtue, power, left his body and healed hers. And when he asked, who touched me? There were some people around him who were not believers. And may I say to you, all church folk aren't believers. They're in the crowd, but they're not believers. They are seers, but they're not believers. And they believe if they can see, but they're not real believers. Jesus said, no, someone touched me with faith. I felt the virtue leave my body. And the woman admitted what had been done. And he said, daughter, which again was an entitlement word, which meant this belonged to you. And every now and then, my brothers and sisters, you've got to know what belongs to you. And when you know what belongs to you, you can end your time of suffering and pain. 12 long years were long enough. She saw Jesus, but listen at the text. Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house. But because the woman had an issue and a need far greater than Jairus's to her, that she interrupted the flow and got her blessings before. All I'm trying to tell somebody is, the greater your faith, the quicker your blessings. When you really believe the Lord can and the Lord will, and you make up, I want my blessing, and I want it now, you can get it then. And she got it then. Sickness. Somebody say sickness. No problem for Jesus. But listen, salvation. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And my brothers and sisters, he proves that he is able to save whosoever will. Our problem is too many of our churches don't preach the Jesus of the Bible. That Jesus that was known as a friend to sinners. He hated the sin, but he loved the sinner. And somehow in our modern day churching, we have got the message twisted. And the sinner comes to church feeling low, feeling broken, feeling wounded, feeling without, looking for help, hoping for help, and come here only to be ridiculed. Because we've got some holier than thou folk acting like they got it all together when they're just pretending. You could call many of our churches the church of great pretenders. Because we know how to act like Christians. We know how to shout like Christians. We know how to dance and throw our hands up like Christians. But we don't know how to act and believe like Christians. And one of the things about the church at its birth, which was known as the church at its birth, was when folk got it, they told others about it. How do you think the folk who were messed up heard the news? Because after all, they weren't allowed in the temple. Somebody missed that. You messed up and you can't go to church? No, the church wasn't for messed up folk. It was for the folk who had it straight. And that's why Jesus met the messed up folk outside of church. I wish I had a helper. Because when he went to church,